Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, who is our risen Savior and our friend. Amen. One morning in 1998, it was about 3 months after I had moved to Berkeley, I was awoken in the morning by a loud explosion that shook the house where I was living. Or at least I assumed that's what it was. It sounded, I mean, honestly, it sounded and it felt like a gas station had exploded nearby. And I leaped from bed and ran to the window expecting to see smoke and flames. And in the same moment that I realized that there actually was no gas station nearby where I was, I also remembered that I was in California. It was not an explosion, it was an earthquake. Over the years, I've been impressed by the variety of my earthquake experiences. I remember an earthquake that sounded like horses galloping. And the earth, you know, like that. And it galloped through my house, and it kept going up the road. Like I saw it and heard it go through the house, and on it went. There was only one earthquake that I've experienced that was really frightening. It shook the house, but this was not one of those that moved through. It just stayed there, and it kept shaking. It just shook. And that was for a pretty long time. You start to wonder, oh, is this going to stop? And it was pretty scary. This past Thursday, there was a magnitude 4.6 earthquake in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Did you feel it? Yeah, I did. I didn't get out of bed, though. I just stayed. One headline said, the earth moved, the Bay Area shrugged. It seems that the gospel writer Matthew enjoyed a good earthquake. Or perhaps better, he appreciated the power of an earthquake as a sign of God's activity. Were there actually earthquakes in Jesus' time and place? Yes, yes. Israel is situated along the seismically active Syrian-African Rift, and earthquakes are not uncommon at all. Earthquakes show up twice in the Passion narrative of Matthew, which is what we're reading this year and today, Matthew. First, while Jesus is on the cross, at the moment of his death, Matthew tells us that the earth shook, rocks were split, and tombs were opened, and that bodies of saints were raised, and they walked into the city, appearing to many. Matthew says, that was a very good precursor of what was to come. And second, 2 days later, according to today's text from Matthew 28, quote, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. As you probably know, the number of women who came to the tomb on Easter morning differs from gospel to gospel. It goes from 1 to 3. But every single one includes Mary Magdalene, every single one. And in all three of the other gospels, which are Mark, Luke, and John, the women arrive to find the stone already rolled away. And they're like, oh, what's this? But not Matthew. Matthew gives us an earthquake. There was an earthquake because an angel descended and rolled away the stone. The earth responded to God's presence and God's act of saving power. Now, there wasn't an earthquake every time Jesus performed a miracle. That would have been a lot of earthquakes. No, the two earthquakes in Matthew 27 and 28 are a response to, they bear witness to, the whole order of creation changing. They bear witness to the impossible becoming possible. The impossible thing is, first, that God in Jesus would experience death, God in Jesus experienced death, that's impossible. And second, that Jesus was resurrected, also impossible. As I said on Good Friday, the raising of Jesus was not simply a resuscitation after which someone like Lazarus, who was also raised, would die again, hopefully, you know, at a ripe old age. But this was a true resurrection into new and eternal life. Christ Jesus is the first fruit of the general resurrection. The first fruit of the general resurrection. And it is our Christian hope that we will all be part of it. It's okay if you want to stay. If you want to stay, it's okay, or just hang out in the gathering hall. I don't want anybody to miss Easter. So I love Matthew's portrayal of the earth being so connected to God. God's Spirit being so present in creation that the earth responds to God's greatest acts. There is a Christian theologian named Sally McFaig who wants us to think of the earth as God's body. The earth as God's body. McFaig's overall point is that in many ways, God in the sky, God up there, has not always served us well. Some people call it the sky God. The sky God has not always served us well. The image of God high up in heaven lends itself to hierarchy, very naturally. God above, us below, hierarchy. And this God up there is removed from us and removed from the earth. And McFaig proposes that if we thought of the earth as God's body, we would treat it with reverence, more than we do now. And we would be more connected to the earth and thus to God, and of course to one another, whose feet are all on the earth. If we bring Matthew and McFaig together, then on the morning of the resurrection, the whole earth, the body of God, and all creation rejoiced. The earth moved and quaked in recognition and celebration of the rolling back of the stone, the triumph of life over death. In Scripture, it is not only rocks and fault lines that respond to God's greatness, but the mountains, the hills, sea, fields, and trees. Psalm 96, 11 and 12 says, "Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy." And Isaiah 55, 12, "For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall," do you know it? "Clap their hands." The earth rejoices at Christ's resurrection, and on a morning as beautiful as this, in a space as beautiful as this, surrounded by a garden as beautiful as this one, it's easy to imagine it, to feel the earth's celebration. But what about the humans? How did the humans, the major players, the actors in this holy drama, how did they respond to resurrection? Early in the morning, at dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And Matthew says simply that they went there to see. They went to see. And then an angel descended, and the earth shook, and the angel rolled away the stone and said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has been raised. Go and tell the other disciples, and then go to Galilee, where you will see him." So the women left the tomb with fear and great joy, running to tell the others. And on the way, Jesus met them, and they held his feet, and they worshiped him. And then he repeated the angel's words, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell the others. Meet me in Galilee." How were the humans feeling and responding to the appearance of an angel, an empty tomb, the message of good news, and then the appearance of Jesus himself? They responded with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy. Well, that seems about right. That seems about right. Fear because they were in the presence of a power greater than themselves, and because they were hearing and seeing things that their brains didn't have any experience with and didn't know how to process. They didn't have categories for this. And fear because, well, we all fear the unknown. But joy, great joy, because whatever this thing was, this power that moved the earth, the angel, the empty tomb, it all pointed toward good news. It pointed towards evil and suffering and cruelty being undone. It pointed towards life. It pointed towards hope. The worst experience of their lives, not just an execution, which they had probably seen before, but the execution of the man whom they had hoped would be the Savior of Israel. This had happened before their eyes. And the worst experience is now reversed. Jesus was alive, and although they had no idea how this would play out, with Jesus, there was life. With Jesus, there was a future. With Jesus, things would be all right. So, yes, fear and joy. And what about you, my friends? How do you greet Jesus this morning, risen from the tomb? Question, had you heard that he died? Did you hear that? Sometimes our lives are so busy, and in these days there are so many national and international calamities that are begging for our attention and our outrage and our action. It would have been easy to miss that part, that Jesus died. But he did, and now he is risen. And no matter if you're a little late to the party, join the party. How do you receive the news this morning? With fear and joy? Fear because, oh, there could be so many reasons. Fear, okay, one, that it isn't real. Two, fear that it is real, but it won't make a difference. That after this service and this morning and brunch and egg hunt and then maybe a family gathering, everything's just gonna go back to the way it was. How do you receive the news this morning that Jesus is risen? With joy? I hope with joy. Maybe great joy? With something springing up inside you that quiet or maybe loud, but will not be denied. He lives, and because he lives, we live. We are not alone. We are loved. We have a part and a place in the redemption and the recreation of the whole world. Death does not win. Life wins. Tyrants do not win. Jesus wins. How do you receive the news this morning that Jesus is risen? Does it feel like an earthquake? Your own private earthquake, perhaps. Has the earth moved and have the rocks split? What would that even mean for us? Sitting here in this worship space, bathed in love, but with all the worries of our lives and the world loitering around the edges, you know, scratching at the door, keep them out. In Matthew, the earth shook in response to God's saving action when something previously impossible became possible. And maybe that's how the earthquake is for you and for me. That's what Christ's resurrection is for us this morning and tomorrow and every day. The impossible has become possible. What felt solid and forever and unchanging has moved. The tombs are broken open. We do live our lives in this world, but it's not the same as before. We have hope, resurrection hope. Jesus is risen and has gone ahead of us to Galilee, and we have a light and a lightness. And hear me on this, if we don't feel a light and a lightness right now, then know that it's there. If you can't believe it or feel it at this moment, allow the community of faith to believe it and feel it for you. That's why we're a community, the body of Christ. Together, let us rejoice in this good news. He is not here. He is risen. He has gone ahead of us to Galilee. The earth has moved and the tombs have split. Something that was permanent has now permanently changed. Death is overthrown and new life is ours. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. Amen.